Shall we pray? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvata v'tivano la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, it is so fitting for our congregation that the Torah portion for this weekend is Lech Lecha, which can be translated many different ways. My favorite is this: get yourself up and go out. And so if you don't mind doing this, would you smile at the person sitting next to you and say, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. This is the first week for Shabbat services in our temporary sanctuary. This is temporary. This is not the new sanctuary. It's just the temporary space. And we are next door to the new synagogue, waiting on its completion as the construction teams are doing their work. Now, when God spoke to Abraham and he said, Lech Lecha, get yourself up and go, that was actually enough to move Abraham. Sometimes people only move when they're dissatisfied. They move to get away from something. Sometimes people only move when all the details have been worked out to their liking, and they move because they want to. But Abraham moved because of the Lord, not because of circumstances. Abraham actually learned to love what God wanted for him. You know, God has plans for each of us. God has plans for you. God has plans for our families. He has plans for our congregations. In a few weeks, we're going to see his plans unfold when we move from this temporary sanctuary into the new synagogue. This is a great time to huddle together. It's a great time to draw close to the Lord and to each other. These are smaller chairs than what we had before, so you're a little bit closer to each other than maybe you're accustomed to. It's also, I think, a really good time to remind ourselves that real permanence is found in the Lord, not in the things of the world. It's important, I think, to remember that people are more important than buildings. At the very time when we're preparing for a new synagogue building, let's remember that you and I are called to be living stones. We're called to be built together into a living sanctuary, and each one of us is called to be a little sanctuary, a little holy place. That's what sanctuary means, where the Holy Spirit of God can live. Now, look at one of those people sitting next to you and just size them up. And the first question you can ask is, does this person remind me of a stone in any way? A living stone. And the second question is, do they look like a sanctuary for God? And often you can look in someone's eyes and you can tell that the Holy Spirit is welcome in their place. I want to congratulate you today because you're here. You're here to worship God and to serve Him. You're here to love Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. And you should congratulate yourself because you got yourself up and you went. We are here now, and we've made a move. Lech Lecha, get yourself up and go. That's our heritage. It's our inheritance. The Lech Lecha that Abraham experienced is repeated again and again in the lives of the children of Abraham. This will not be the last time that God says to you, Lech Lecha, get yourself up and go. Because there are many times that God will call us to leave what is familiar. Do you remember when God called Abraham? He said, you've got to leave your country. You've got to leave your father and his place, your family, and go where? Do you remember the where? To a land you do not know that I will show you. Abraham with his Lech Lecha, found himself in a new stage of life. He left what was familiar. He left all that his earthly father could give him, and he went into the unknown in order to receive what his heavenly father wanted to give him. Abraham traded the certainties of the life that he already knew for the promises of a life that God had planned for him. Now, maybe you can identify with this. How many are facing some unsettled questions about their own future? Quite a few of us. We live in unsettled times. These are not the most stable of times. And many of us are in life circumstances and we don't know what's going to happen next exactly. We don't have the kind of stability and unchanging circumstances maybe that we wish we had. And I want you to know that God knows how to use situations like this in order to draw us close to Him, to grow up in Him. Abraham could have said, well, I only want to go if I understand where I'm going to. But he didn't. He could have said, well, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I don't know how this is going to work out. You're asking me, Lord, to give up what I already know and go to what I don't know. And the Lord said, absolutely. So you might look around and realize you're not the only one in this group who's on a journey. We're all on a journey. And you're not the only one who doesn't know everything that's ahead. You're actually in good company, because if you have identified yourself with Abraham, he has called you to follow God and not just life circumstances. To follow God and not just your plan, but his plan. And Abraham did something that's profoundly important. He made room in his heart for God's word to him. Abraham built his life on the promises of a faithful God. Now, unlike you and I, Abraham did not have the Bible to refer to. We do. We can look at the scriptures. We can study the scriptures. We can learn things about the will of God by reading from the scriptures. Abraham didn't have that benefit. He had the kind of faith that comes by hearing. And what he heard was the word of God, but it was the spoken word of God, the Spirit of God speaking to him, and he joined himself with the faithful God who speaks. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. God says this to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. So who's going to do the making? God. And who's going to do the blessing? God, in that part. And then he says, I will make your name great. And then look at this. We've now heard three things that God says he will do. But in the last part of this verse, God says what Abraham needs to do. You shall be a blessing. If you have your Bibles out, you might notice that most English translations just put this in the future tense, you will be a blessing. Like, in the future, you will be a blessing. But this is actually a commanding form of speech in which God is saying, you must be a blessing. One translation says, be thou a blessing, or be a blessing. Now, again, if you don't mind looking at people with a smile on your face, look at them and say, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. Okay, now speak it in another way as a command. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Now, when you say that to some people, you just know it's going to come easily for them. They will be like that. And for others, it's going to take great work. Be a blessing. I don't know what it's going to take. There are two sides of being a blessing. One is be a blessing to God. And the second is be a blessing to other people. For Abraham, it really started with a condition that God placed on Abraham, and that is, you need to be a blessing to me. The Lord was saying, I have plans for you. I want you to give up your plans and make my plans more important than your plans. God was saying, I know everything that's happened in your life to get you to this point, and I'm happy for that, but your future is going to be different than your past. You're going to have to leave all this familiar and go to what's unfamiliar, and you're going to serve me. And Abraham said yes. You see, these two sides of being a blessing, be a blessing to God and being a blessing to other people, they're connected to each other. The apostles talk about that a lot. They say that loving God and loving your neighbor, loving your brother, they're part of one seamless whole. Yeshua was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he gave a discount. He gave two for one. And he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And he said, there's a second commandment that is like it, and it is love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all of the Torah and all of the prophets hang on these two. They depend on these two. If you get these two right, guess what? You can get the rest of the scriptures right. Get these wrong, and your whole understanding of the scriptures will be out of whack. James, whose name wasn't James, if you wanted to call him a better name in English, you could call him Jack. Or Jacob is even better, because that was his actual name, Yaakov. And he said, excuse me, he said that you've got to love your brother and to love one another. And John said the same kind of thing. It's throughout the scriptures. Paul, when he was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, made it clear they're not to make us famous or to make us wealthy. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given so that God can use us to bless each other and to build us up together. Be a blessing to God, be a blessing to other people. Both of these aspects of being a blessing, both require the same thing, that we make room in our heart for God's word. Yeshua spoke about this once to a mixed crowd. It was a Jewish group, and it included two kinds of people. Some who were open to him and some who were closed to him. In John 8, Yeshua, speaking to that group, he pointed to Abraham. And he said to this Jewish group, I know you're children of Abraham. And then he said, so act like Abraham. Make room in your heart for my word. That's what Yeshua said. In John 8:37, Yeshua said to that group, some of you here are trying to kill me because there's no room in your heart for my message. I want to focus on this insight. We need to give room in our hearts for Yeshua and for his word. Yeshua said, if you abide in me and my word, what? Abides in you. Ask what you desire and it will be done. Now, is that because God becomes our servant? Does he become our genie? You know what I mean? You know, you get to rub that magic lamp and get three wishes, and now it's God who's granting you the three wishes. No, it's not like that. The key to it is the conditions. Abide in me and let my word abide in you. Now, there is a powerful transformation that takes place when we are drawing close to the Lord and we're letting his word live in us and become strong. The transformation is that our hearts are impacted when we fellowship with the Lord like that. We change because what he desires becomes interesting to us. What he wants becomes something we want. Our desires actually change, and our desires are reshaped by what the Lord desires. Fellowship with the Lord will do that. That's what happened to Abraham. fellowshipping with the Lord. He heard something from the Lord. The Lord had a word for Abraham that was different than Abraham's word for himself. And this gives us understanding. Take God's word to heart. Let his word grow in us. I can tell you, I want his word to affect what I say. I want his word to affect what I do. I want his word to affect what I think about and even what I think about saying. Have you ever been in a situation where you had an answer that you were ready to give and you paused just long enough that the Holy Spirit was able to get your attention and redirect you? Don't say that. Say this. And he speaks his word to us and it makes us alive to something and stirs us. As we fellowship with the Lord, we change. We become different. Psalm 19 teaches me to pray about my own thoughts and my feelings. Now, sometimes when we're thinking about thoughts, you know, we think about the head. So I want you to just knock on wood. Just touch your cranium, if you will. And when we think about our feelings, we often think about our heart, right? And so just put your hands over your heart for a minute. These are two areas that God is interested in. And in Psalm 19:14, it says, Yiyu leratzon imrefi v'higiyon libi lifanecha Adonai tzuri v'goali. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to make room in my heart for God's message, for his words, for his instruction, for his direction. And that's why I pray like this. Lord, let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. It's not because I want you, Lord, to agree with me. It's because I want to agree with you. I want to know your will. And that's why I pray that way, and it's also why I study. Ezra 7:10 paints such a good picture. Ezra had set his heart to study the instruction, the Torah of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and his ordinances in Israel. We're called to pray, we're called to fellowship, and we're called to study the Word of God, to let God's Word abide in us, so that what we ask for are the very things that God is wanting to do. And when we ask like that, we receive what we're asking for. I want to pray for you. If you want a breakthrough in your life, if you want more answers to prayer, if you want to see God's victory, then take to heart what Yeshua said about being real children of Abraham and making room in our hearts for his word to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of life. You are the renewer of life. And we have abundant life and we have eternal life in you, not in ourselves, but in you. Thank you for your promises. You are a faithful God who we can depend on. You are not a man that you would lie. Every yes in you is a yes. Every amen is an amen. All your promises are confirmed to us in Yeshua. Lord, we want to open our hearts to you. We want to make room for you and for your word in our hearts. And we want, Lord, the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable to you. We want to think about, to be moved by the things that are pleasing to you. We offer ourselves to you, Lord, because we've heard your word, Lech Lecha. We've gotten up. We've gotten out of that old place and we've come to you through your Son, our Messiah, to live a new life. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you stand up? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha, v'yosemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.